All right, good evening. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? Back in March of last year, we were probably wishing about that time or so that we could be back in the house of God because didn't really know what was going on a little bit and had to shut down public meeting, I guess you'd say. But boy, I just kept calling my pastor because I couldn't get any meetings going. And I said, can we come to church? So it's just so good to be able to come back to church. It's a privilege to be here tonight. I'm very thankful for this opportunity to come and share the need that and the call and the ministry God's put on my heart, my family's heart, for church planting in Oregon. Thank you for the place to stay. I appreciate that so much. I've been away from my family. My wife and my daughter are still back in Georgia. My daughter's in her 12th year of school. She's got three real, real difficult classes, and so they don't travel long distances with me. I travel those by myself, and so I'm about to go crazy. I've been almost 2 weeks away from them. So y'all pray for me tonight. I don't know how this message might come out, but I'm missing them. Amen. Anyway, God called us. He called me to preach when I was 40. I had worked the same job for 25 years or at the same place, at different positions there. But worked there for 25 years. I was saved at Westside Baptist Church, and that's the church we're sent out of. I was saved there when I was 8 years old. When I was five, we weren't in church. My folks weren't saved. Somebody from Westside Baptist Church came by our house and knocked on our door and just gave us a simple invitation to come to church. And shortly thereafter, we went, and then went again. Mom and Dad ended up getting saved, and you know where we were from then on, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, etc., right? And I praise God for that, because 3 years of in Sunday school and in church and hearing the gospel, when I was 8 years old, I trusted Christ as my Savior. So glad to have the Lord with me. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, right? I found out later that Westside Baptist Church had been planted in 1963, and that was the year I was born. And so I got a feeling, if for nobody else, then it was for Keith Bridges that God put Westside Baptist Church there in Jackson, Georgia. Anyway, was just happy to serve God there. I wasn't always a perfect guy, that's for sure, but God was working in my life and allowed me to serve in my home church in many different ways. It wasn't a huge church, so I wore a lot of hats sometimes. And I never traveled. We just lived right there in that little pocket of Georgia. And Jackson was 4,000 people at that time, and it had five independent Baptist churches. And I just thought that's the way it was all over the whole United States, because I never traveled. And we had a missions conference, and a gentleman came going to the state of Washington as a church planter. I went into that conference looking at the sheet of paper at the list of missionaries and remember thinking, why are we sending somebody to America? And God's got a sense of humor, I think, right? Anyway, as he began to share his call, his burden, he made the statement. He said, Oregon and Washington take turns as the most unchurched states in America. And when he did, the Holy Spirit smote my heart. And he said, you're going to preach and you're going to go. Amen. Well, me being the spiritual giant I am, I said, no. I said, man, I'm here. I like it here. I'm at home. And anyway, that was Sunday of the missions conference. They went through Friday, and fasting and praying and asking God and talking to my pastor and, of course, talking to my wife, and total different thing. You know what I'm saying? And I surrendered on that Friday night to go to Oregon. So with some Bible college and opportunities to preach here and there, then we started raising support. And in 2009, we went to Lebanon, Oregon. We were going to Corvallis, but God just ended up putting us in Lebanon, Oregon, and established a church there. It took us a while. We were there 10 and a half years. So it took a while. It takes a while sometimes for people to get to where they trust you. They had seen people from the south come out to the northwest and not last very long. And I understand why after being there 10 years. And but anyway, God was very, very gracious. And God opened doors for us in many different capacities. God planted a church there. So when we left the church in 2019, we left there. We left it with a building completely paid for the church. A full-time pastor was in place. And we felt like then the Lord was finished with us at that work as far as we should be taking it. So came back to Georgia and came back kind of beat, to be honest with you. We had not been on a furlough the whole 10 years, just couldn't do it till the work was done. And came back kind of beat and kind of got fresh and new in 2020 in January with going forth, and then COVID hit and kind of put things backwards. But we lost some support while we were there. We got down to about 60%. I was doing some work on the side to make the ends meet so we could get the work finished, trying to get that back up to about 100% there so we can, Lord willing, the end of, right close to the end of the spring here, when probably my daughter graduates, we'll try to go back out there and start another church. Got a video here that I believe does a pretty good job of showing in pictures what this first church plant was like, so we can have that video at this time. But it is also a place of spiritual darkness. We are the Bridges family, and God has called us to Oregon to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are sent out of Westside Baptist Church of Jackson, Georgia. In March of 2009, we went to Oregon and established Bible Baptist Church in the town of Lebanon. These pictures tell the rest of the story. Now we are preparing to plant another church in the Willamette Valley region, which includes the six largest cities and houses 70% of the population of the state. We ask that you would pray for us to be greatly used for the glory of God, and that many would be saved, and that a strong Bible preaching church would be planted. Well, praise the Lord. Am I speaking too loud? Okay. The population in Oregon, the whole state, has about 4.2 million people, and 3 million of those live there in the Willamette Valley, which Portland is at the north end of that. Salem is in the middle. That's the capital. And the south end is Eugene. Go Ducks, right? Yeah, that's kind of wet for the bat, too. Amen. Amen. You look at statistics, two-thirds of the people in the state don't see any problem with abortion. They don't see any problem with the sodomites. They don't see any problem with drugs. As a matter of fact, they just voted this past November to decriminalize hard drugs. So heroin and cocaine and all those things, you just get a slap on the back of the hand. That's kind of gives you an idea of the mindset. We had sodomites come to our church at times, and a transgender person came. You don't always know those things sometimes till after the fact, but I'm just saying this is where it's at. There's so much of that is very prevalent in that state. Very anti-Christ minded, to be honest with you. Found out that place is not like the South, right? It's quite different. But by the grace of God, we knocked on every door that we could knock on. There was a couple of little gated communities, but otherwise, every door we could knock on in that town, we did it five times over in that 10 years. And so we tried to be diligent in sharing the gospel there. And there is a great need there. Well, we're going to be, Lord willing, we're aiming for the area of Eugene. Eugene is the second. It and Salem are really close in the numbers. Second largest city. That county has about 300,000, I think, in the county of Lane County. The other evening, I was looking up, trying to find, you know, where we might get a place to live once we move out there. Just trying to be proactive in that. And I come across citydata.com. I don't know if you've ever seen that website. They got a lot of data on cities, counties. Lane County is where Eugene is located. 75% of the people there claim no religion at all. Now, I know religion doesn't save anybody. I understand that. But to give you the mindset of the people, just don't really want to have anything to do with God, the Bible, church. Outdoors is their God. They love those mountains and those rivers. And I understand that too, but it's not my God. My God made them. Amen. And so sometimes we get a chance to just talk to people like that. You know, I enjoy those things too, but my God spoke those into existence. And we found a lot of petrified wood when we was out there and get to talking. And there's a lot of people that love that kind of a thing. The gems and the rocks and stuff like that. And so that opened a few doors. You know, this rock was probably made, this petrified wood was probably made during the flood. And that begins to get people's attention. And God gives all kind of avenues to share the gospel. So it's a place that Eugene doesn't have. I think there's five independent Baptist churches there. And I'm not saying they're all like with King James and all that either. There's compromise entered in on that kind of a thing. By the grace of God, we're going to be going to the outskirts of Eugene. There's a town there called Junction City. There's no independent Baptist church in there. And we're going to try to go there and start one and get established. And anyway, I would sure appreciate the prayers if you would get a prayer card from back here off the table and keep the Bridges family in your prayers. I would sure appreciate that. Some of you are in the ministry. I met some that were missionaries, some evangelists. Of course, your pastor and others, and youth pastor and all those kind of things. The more forward you try to go for the Lord, I think the target on your back gets bigger. And Satan does not want us going forward.
Right.
He wants us to stop, ease up, back off. And I preached to the church this morning over at Calvary. I preached, it's time to continue.
Amen.
Amidst COVID, amidst a country that is forgetting God, amidst difficult times in that realm of spiritual things, of godly things, it's time to keep on going. Amen. So I want to encourage you. It sounds like, looks like you've got a good work going on here. There's no shortage around here of people to reach. I'm telling you, I about freaked out when I came into this area. I thought Atlanta was bad. And these roads about made me have a heart attack trying to follow my GPS, listening to that woman. I ought to know better trying to follow what a woman was trying to tell me to do. Anyway, man, I'm getting in trouble. But my wife ain't here, so I can say it, right? But seriously, y'all got, 875,000 people in Fort Worth? I looked it up last night. That's a lot of people. Well, that's a lot of souls. There's a lot of folk here dying and going off into eternity, and many of them without Christ. If what the Bible says is true, and it is true, and I'm not saying it doubtfully, I'm just saying it rhetorically. I'm just saying if what the Bible says is true, the majority of them are on the broad path that leads to destruction. And only a few are on the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. And so that ought to just it ought to challenge us and encourage us to continue on and pick up the pace a little bit more, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. If anybody has any questions, I would take some of those after church. I'd try my best to answer any questions that you might have. I just know America was a mission field. When we went out there in 2009, America is more of a mission field now.
Yes, sir.
When we came back to Georgia at the end of 2019, I could tell, we came back and visited family about 2 weeks every year. But we were here a short period of time and then gone. Came back and lived for a little bit. Georgia's not like it was. And I think a huge part of it, you know, the way I look at the scriptures, I try to look at it with the mindset of God. God said judgment must begin first at His house. I believe it's the compromises, I'm just saying Georgia, for instance, of the churches there that have begun to compromise their stands to try to get more people. They've compromised their stands and they preach a part of the scriptures that's the easier listening part and stay away or back off of the whole counsel of God. And people begin to accept abortion as being, well, maybe it's not so bad. And they look at the sodomites and they go, well, maybe those guys, you know, really do like it. It's okay. They like each other. And that shouldn't be happening in churches. Listen, that's the last place it should be happening.
Yes, sir.
It ain't that we hate those sinners, but I tell you what, that sin ought to be repulsive to us.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, one of the senators that just got voted in Georgia, and I'm sure it was probably all over the news here like it was in other places about that race, he's a pastor of a Baptist church. And as soon as I seen that he was running for senator, I began to look up some background in this guy. I said, wait a minute, this guy's a Baptist pastor. And I looked, where's his stand on abortion? Because that's just murder. And that this is a moral issue, it's not a political issue. It's life and death of a human being. So I'll go to look it up, and he goes, well, you know, God gives everybody a choice when it comes to salvation. So he gives them a choice whether it comes to abortion or not. And just sad, sad, sad that that's happening in Georgia. I don't know how close Texas was, but I'm telling you what, I guarantee you it seems to be losing ground. Not that we're on the losing side, we're on the winning side. But before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, the Lord said in the last days that perilous times had come.
Right.
And He said in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But then he says, but continue thou. Continue thou. And the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
That's right.
So I want to encourage you, listen. I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he said, will he find faith? Will he find those that are being faithful? And I trust that you have made up your mind that by the grace of God, you're going to be faithful.
Amen.
You're going to keep on keeping on, continue to do those things that you know are right according to Scripture, no matter how much this world disagrees with us. That's okay. I'm on the winning side.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We need to pray for America. But you know, I don't do all this for the sake of America. I do want to see America get right and America have revival. But I do this for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I would not have left, honestly, Georgia to go to Oregon and start a church for the sake of America. I love America. Not that much. And I didn't do it necessarily for the people of Oregon, because most of them didn't like us. But I did it for the Lord.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, if anybody's worthy, for us to continue going on, Jesus Christ is worthy.
Amen.
And so I'm going to continue to encourage you to continue on. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 9 this evening. Matthew chapter 9. And one thing about the Word of God, it never gets old.
Right.
It's the oldest book in existence, but it never gets old.
Amen.
Amen. It may get old to some people. God help them. God help them. That's probably what's happening in a lot of these churches and a lot of these Christians and the compromise that's coming along. They've gotten tired of the Word of God or something. They've backed off from it. Well, I'll tell you what, you stay in this book. You got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and you do if you're saved. And you stay in this book, it's going to do something. It is alive. It's quick and powerful. Amen. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's going to do something. And so I've preached this message many a times on traveling like this. And it doesn't get old to me, but it always convicts me a little bit more. Matthew chapter 9. And we're looking at verse 35 and following. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, with these fine people here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that the pastor has given me, Lord, to be able to share this call and burden that you put upon our hearts and lives for the people of Oregon. I thank you, Lord, for the place to stay. Just thank you, Lord, for calling me. I thank you, Lord, for using us. And, Lord, the little work there that we did there. Lord, I just had to give you all the glory and praise for what was done. Lord, there's still much work to be done. Lord, as we look at the multitudes in our world, I think about this scripture here. The Lord, when you looked, you saw the multitudes. You were moved with compassion. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to have your heart in this matter. And I pray, the Lord, that you would use this message, Lord, just to strengthen those and help those to continue on that are doing the right thing. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that may be slacking up, Lord, in their service for you, may they be convicted to pick that up Get back with it. If there be somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as your Savior, Lord, their number one need is to get saved, to be born again. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd open up their spiritual eyes of their understanding, enlighten it, help them to see that Jesus Christ is the answer. Lord, I pray that they be saved tonight. And ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Reading this scripture here, there's these three different things I thought about as I read. There's these numberless multitudes. Jesus saw the multitudes. That word multitude means a great number of people, the number often unknown, but it's a great number. And the Bible says that Jesus here saw the multitudes. And I'm curious of where the multitudes were made up of. If we go back to the beginning of chapter 9, we find out that, and he, verse 1, Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. By the way, Jesus went into his own, did he not? The Bible says he came into his own, but his own received him not. But he went to them. Here he comes into his own city. And he comes across a man that's sick of the palsy, who had an ailment, a physical ailment. He came across a man named Matthew, down in verse 9 there. Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector, and those guys were pretty well hated by the Jews because they worked for the Roman government. He came across many publicans and sinners through Matthew. And Pharisees also, didn't he? Of course, they questioned him about eating and being with those publicans and sinners. He came across a certain ruler who had a dead daughter. He came across a woman with the issue of blood who, according to the Old Testament law, was unclean. He came across these two blind men and gave them their sight. He came across this man that was dumb, that could not speak, that had this devil. He saw multitudes, and they were all sorts. And may I say this? I guarantee you, right here around your hometown, there are people of all sorts that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll come across some that you really don't want to talk to. You'll come across some that really don't want to talk to you. But I just believe that if we're moved with some compassion and we'll pray for them, God will give us some more open doors than what we have sometimes. Jesus went to all these different varying sorts. And he sat down there and ate with those publicans and sinners. And now listen, I'm not encouraging us to get in there with the wicked and hang out with them. But you know, there's sometimes, somebody put it to me this way. When you're dealing with people that are dirty, you're going to get a little sin on, or a little dirt on you. Not so much that you participate in their sin, but sometimes you hear and you see some of this stuff they get involved in. But if you're going to minister to people, that's kind of where it's at sometimes. Where it may be on their doorstep and you see the junk. Listen, we knocked on doors of people out there. They're making meth. They come to the door with sores all over their face. You can smell the smell coming out of their house. It reeked. You couldn't always stand it. It's probably dangerous standing right there. But that person needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We picked up people that were living under folks' house. They come to our church and go into the bathroom and wash up a little bit with a paper towel and water. They needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We met people. There was this one house there in town that was painted the rainbow colors. You can probably imagine what kind of folk live there. I knock on the door anyway. Little girl comes to the door. She's probably 10 years old. And I get to where I'm hesitant to even ask if mom and dad's home, because you don't want somebody to overhear and think, well, they're trying to find out mom and dad. They're going to, you know. So I just say, I'd like to leave this with you to give to your folks, your mom and dad, for church. And here come dad. I guess it was dad around behind the door. And he just cussed me out. Don't give that trash to my daughter. I tried to be very gracious. That guy needs Jesus Christ. Listen, for a whole part, large part of my life, those people were the minority. I mean, very few. And such a stigma, and it should be, that we skip them. And I know there's a group going around today that say people that are involved in the sodomite life cannot be saved. I can't wholly agree with that. I do know what Romans chapter 1 says, how they can go so far and God will turn them over. He gives them up and all those things and turn them over to a reprobate mind, etc. I know that. But I know he also said to preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
I do also know that Jesus Christ died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen. The sins of the whole world. Listen. Upon Jesus Christ that day when he's on the cross is the sin of sodomy. Died for all sins, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Amen. The sin of abortion. All these things that we cringe. We had a man saved there. I never heard exactly all of his background. But he'd been in prison. And it appeared it had to do with child molestation. His son was a sodomite. We knock on this gentleman's door. And we started trying something different. Listen, I'm open for different things. If it ain't outside this book, it's okay. I'll do it. And so we have so many rejections. And so we say, let's try something different. Plenty of people seem to be in a hurry. Let's knock on their door and just say, hey, we're from the church and I'd like 2 minutes of your time. I mean, get it in just like that. The guy with me had his phone set with a 2-minute timer. Tom was one of those that we came across. And, well, I shouldn't have said his name. Anyway, I did. It just came out. He was one of those that we did that. He wasn't interested. I said, sir, can we have just 2 minutes? That's all. My friend here will time, and I won't take no more than 2 minutes of your time, I promise. Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes. And I just went into sharing the gospel the best I could. We're all sinners. We're all deserving. Put myself on their level. Listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, Jesus Christ, in my heart, in my life, I'd be burning in hell right now, probably. That's what I deserve. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace is the only reason that I'm not in hell today.
Amen.
So, I just begin to share. You know, the simple, just simple. And that carries you about a little ways, just part of the way through the gospel. And the beeper went off, the buzzer or whatever. I said, all right, thank you, sir. You've been gracious. I sure appreciate your time. I appreciate that. Come visit us at church. He goes, well, you've already got started. Tell me more.
Amen.
And I got to completely share the gospel with Tom. A couple of weeks later, he came to church. Then I started going to his house for a Bible study. Tom got saved. I don't know what all happened in his background. And I tell you, somebody else who doesn't know, and that is God. He's forgotten it. I don't know how all that works. I don't know, but his sins are gone. They're washed away. He has the righteousness of Jesus Christ put upon him. Listen, we need to get back to where we see people as Jesus saw them and be moved with compassion. As repulsive as some of their manners of living are. Jesus saw the numberless multitudes. He saw him as sheep without a shepherd. Listen, America is there. Not just because Donald Trump just got voted out. It's got nothing to do with that. America, you look and just people are scattered. They're going every which way and they really know good direction in many of their lives. They don't know Jesus Christ. There is no good direction without Christ. They may make a lot of money. They may be well educated. They may be sharp as a tack and all this thing, have everything else together, but they're headed for a place called hell.
That's right.
Sheep without a shepherd. Lost. Scattered. Lost. How do we see the multitudes? When you go about, when I go about, how do we see the multitudes? You know, in the world, there's now estimated 7.6 billion, I think it is, if that's anywhere close. 7.6 billion, that's a lot of people. You know how much a billion is? Man, I wish I did in dollars, man. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Probably not. It'd be a curse, probably. A billion. If you started counting one number every second, one, two, three, and then you get to 1,000, 1,001. You can't hardly count a number every second. And you get it in the big numbers. If you could count a number every second, it would take you 33 plus years to count to a billion.
Wow.
Now there's 7 billion plus in our world. And actually a large number of them don't even have the Bible in their language. There's a need all over. Praise the Lord for what y'all do back there with your missions. Keep it up. Number one is there's numberless multitudes all around. People need the gospel. Number two, there is a necessary message. It says Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We have a gospel message to preach today. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Now, I think if we get a little bit of a glimpse of Christ on the cross, He's there with my sins on Him. He set His face as a flint. Took that cross up the hill. And they nailed Him. Hands in His feet. They'd beaten Him. They buffeted Him with their hands and their fists. They smote Him over the head after they put that crown of thorns on Him. They smote Him with that reed. They mocked Him. They spat on Him. This is God and man. He had to be God 100% because He had to be a sinless sacrifice. He had to be man 100% because man sinned, man had to die. And so there's Jesus on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, rejected by both. Because when He cries out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? His Father in heaven could no longer look upon His Son because the hideous mass of the sins of the whole world were upon Him. And He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Praise the Lord. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is still the message that is necessary that this world needs to hear. Listen, more than a coronavirus a shot, you need to get the gospel out.
Amen.
Coronavirus don't affect everybody, but sin does. The death rate is still one per person. God help us to get this necessary message of the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and that He was buried. You been to a funeral before? You ever seen somebody buried? You might not have saw it actually happening, but come back later and it's all covered up. And I don't try to speak lightly about that. Because I know it hurts sometimes if somebody's had a loved one gone lately. But that's how it's kind of a final thing, at least in this life. It was a final thing with Jesus Christ, they thought. Amen. They did everything they could to keep him from coming out of that grave. They thought people were going to take him out of there. But they didn't have a clue. Amen. Can't you see those guys that's guarding that thing, shaking? They became like dead men when he came forth out of that grave. Ah, Jesus rose again. Amen. See somebody back there? Amen. It's still exciting to somebody. Amen. Amen. Jesus rose again. You know why? Because the sins were gone.
Yes.
They were carried as far as the east is from the west. Listen, if the sins weren't taken care of, Jesus could not come out of the grave because they would still be on him. But he rose again because our sins were gone.
Amen.
And it gives us promise, hope of everlasting life, not just as a spirit or whatever it may be, but this old body one of these days is going to change if you're saved. Brother Eaton was preaching this afternoon, and he says, every time I say his name, I think about Eaton, amen. He says, I hope I'm alive when the rapture takes place. And that would be probably an amazing thing. To feel that change.
Yes, sir.
To feel that change. To hear that voice.
Yes.
And that shout. And that trump of God. See dead in Christ rising. That body brought out, changed. This is the gospel. Because Christ rose, we also too will rise. Listen, there's so much in this message. It's a necessary message. This is what the world needs to hear. How are they going to hear? Without somebody telling them.
Amen.
And if we think this person and that person is going to tell them, and we leave it to somebody else, they may get to them, they may not. But I know this, if I had opportunity and I stand before God one day, I'm going to give an account for the opportunities I missed. And there's already too many of them. A necessary message. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen, amen, amen. Oh my. When I was 8 years old, I hadn't had a lot of time to do a lot of sin, I don't guess. I remember some. But the number one sin I had was unbelief. And I turned from that unbelief and put my faith in Jesus Christ. A necessary message. And the third thing I see here gets down in verse 37. Then saith he, Jesus, speaking unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Third thing is, there's a need for messengers. There's a need for messengers. Jesus said, the harvest is not the problem. There's plenty out there. He said, but my laborers are few. Jesus, during his ministry, had the same problem as we have today in the church. I don't know how it is here. I'm just saying, in most churches, there's a handful doing the work. There's a handful getting involved and getting the gospel out. There's a need for messengers. There's no shortage of souls that need to be saved. And I know how hard it is. I know how it is when people don't want to listen, when they want to just turn a deaf ear, et cetera, and et cetera. We just need to be prayer warriors, and then put some feet to those prayers and ask God to help us to be a witness. That's what Jesus told them in Acts 1. You shall be witnesses unto me. We need witnesses, to somebody to say, if you're a witness at a trial, you just tell what you know.
That's
What you saw, what you heard, or what you experienced of whatever was going on, you just tell what you know. And that's the same thing we witnessed with Jesus Christ. Or you tell somebody what happened to you. What you know about salvation. Now, if you're not saved, you don't know a whole lot about it. But if you've been born again, listen, you've got something to share. The gospel. Let's be messengers. Workers, sowers, reapers. Listen, sometimes we have to sow for a while before we get opportunity to reap. This year, we were stuck in Georgia because of this COVID thing. When it hit, I had 30-something meetings canceled in a row. And then throughout the spring and into the summer, I couldn't get a meeting booked. Everybody's like, we're not booking anybody. We planted a little garden, a little small area. I don't know, it was 20 by 20 maybe, and put some things in there. Man, did they ever produce. I've never had garden grow like that before. I should have planted a bigger one, right? Because it was a bumper crop of everything, especially jalapeno peppers. I mean, they were on there like crazy. When the frost came, it was still loaded. And I was taking bell peppers off like this right before the first frost. And other things we planted, squash and all those. It's just, if we'd have planted a bigger area, we'd have probably got a bigger crop. The more seeds we put out, if there's an emphasis on getting the seed, the gospel seed out there, there will be a larger crop. Amen. It may take still a long time. You have to wait for that fruit to come on, for the etc. In the natural realm, the same thing in the spiritual realm. Listen, we had young folk out yonder that some of them got saved, some didn't, when they were 6, 7, 8 years old. And they come for a little while at first, and then they got to 10, 11, and then whatever reason, mom and dad, whatever it may be. And that right before we left, 10 years it went by and they're coming back. Amen. See, sometimes it takes a while. I think what happened in America is, I know in our region, in the 60s and the 70s, there was a revival. That's when my folks got saved. Rhonda, her mom and dad got saved. Her dad and my dad were both called, they didn't know each other, but they both called to preach during that time. God was moving in the southeast area that time, during that time. And we've rode that wave for a while of so many seeds they planted probably from the 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever it may have been. We rode that for a generation or two, but it's running out. We're behind now. We need to get some seeds to plant it again and multiply those that we plant. And yes, we may not see any results from them, but I guarantee you, the Bible is true.
Amen.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God, we got a promise. What we reap, we'll sow. It's just a natural thing. Can I encourage you, messengers, will you go? Will you pray for him? He says in verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, we need to be willing to volunteer. We need to be willing to go and go. Kind of like Isaiah was, right? What did he do? Hear my Lord. The Lord said, whom shall we send and who will go for us? I'm over here. He didn't wait, come over here, I'll call you in and wish me. He just said, I'm going to go. And I wish for 40 years of my life that I'd earlier had more of a mindset to do such a thing. Need for messengers. How active are you personally in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Lord, help us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here tonight, the Lord, to share the ministry and the preacher word. And Lord, I just pray that you would, it's your word, Lord, that you would take this word and put your power behind what was said and preached tonight, Lord. That you'd help us to get a compassion for those that are lost, although they're not like us. They may be a different race. They may be different morally. But if they need Jesus Christ, Lord, help us to be moved with compassion. Help us to pray for laborers and us be a laborer also. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. You have a song for us, brother? Let's stand together, beloved. Thank you, Brother Bridges, for that message. It's certainly spoke and stirred my heart this evening. Never hear that passage preached that it doesn't, as he shared at the beginning, it doesn't stir my heart. And the great need for us to be active. Thankful that the Holy Spirit of God, in his divine way, puts things together. Certainly a tremendous follow-up on what we heard from God this morning. And you know, it is crazy days, different times. And thinking of Brother David and Kelsey there in Argentina, but in many ways right here as well, we need to rethink. We need to innovate. We need to take up and buy up, take advantage of every opportunity the Lord would give us to share the gospel, to touch lives. Again, being willing to get up alongside of folks and share what God has done for us. Don't complicate it. Just share with precious souls what Jesus did for you. Thank you so much, my brother. As we sing tonight, of course, the altars are open. If God so leads, please take advantage of them. Brother, song.
Number 153.
Amen. As we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Tonight, as you pick your head up in the morning, we'll be different places with different folks, all of us. Pray, God, use me today. Lord, help prepare my heart even tonight, that as I enter into this week and to the day you'd give me tomorrow, that my voice, my words would be liberated to speak for you. Use me, Lord. Huh? Again, those words that we saw from David this morning, that song in his heart, people not only heard it, they saw it. Huh? Boy, that spoke to my heart. My dear, precious souls, from whatever background, from whatever, hey, we got, as we mentioned, the most level place in the universe is the foot of the cross. Hmm? And every one of us had our burden of sin. Please don't ever look down our righteous nose at someone else because where they're at and the sin they may be in. God saves from sin. Hmm? There's no parenthesis there except for this sin or that sin. I didn't mean to start preaching. Hmm? Lord, help us get past ourselves and just touch lives, touch folks. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother, this evening. Brother Earl, come.
Amen. We'll be dismissed with our chorus, I'm So Happy.